We all know that who is the greatest example that we should be modeling ourselves after? Jesus, right? I don't know about you, but there were times when early on in my faith, it was like, oh, I'm to model myself after Jesus, but this is the Son of God. I mean, he's the second person of the Holy Trinity. It just seems so, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, so high. He's in the heavenlies. And I'm supposed to model myself after Jesus? How? Yes, he's given us the Holy Spirit. But it's hard, right? If you want to admit it, it's hard to sometimes, maybe early in your life, maybe you're okay with it now, but early on, it's like, this is Jesus. How do I model myself? He's perfect. How do I model myself after him? But God is so gracious. He is so gracious. Like, oh, Paul. Paul, that's okay. I'm going to give you other examples as well. Yes, we're to model ourselves after Jesus. But he's so gracious that he gives us other models that we can see living godly lives, that have lived godly lives. We think of the Apostle Paul. We just finished the book of Romans, and we think of the Apostle Paul. What was that? What happened to him? He was in jail. Now, he could have wallowed in self-pity and been all selfish. Oh, wow, it's me, God. Oh, yeah, yeah. He didn't do that. In fact, while he was in jail, what did he end up doing? Writing lots of epistles for us. And so we have these examples. He's so gracious. All throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see so many others. They're not perfect, but having lived godly lives, righteous living, they were righteous living, which just means living the right way, God's way, even in the midst of great trials and testings. So one such real historic character was Daniel. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Daniel? And God is going to bless our socks off in the book of Daniel. Praise the Lord. We went from Romans to Daniel. How's that? Huh? Apostle Paul to the prophet Daniel. The book of Daniel, it said that 58% of the writing of the book of Daniel is prophetic in nature. 58%. There are those out there say, oh, no, this is all allegorical. I will tell you, folks, it is not allegorical. It is to be taken literal. And if you think allegorical, you're going to get messed up on your eschatology of end times. So I will admonish you. I will encourage you to not look at the parts of Daniel when he talks about many things that is hard for our minds to comprehend as allegorical. It is to be taken literal. And so it's very important as you see what God is doing with Israel from past to present to future. And we're going to know this through the book of Daniel. This is going to be exciting, folks. 58%. Why does God give us prophecy? Why? And by the way, it wasn't just a general prophecy. It's not like someone saying, oh, I believe Edmonton's going to win the Stanley Cup. Anyone here predict that? I don't know. Yeah, okay, one person. Okay, good. Well. Boo, no. I mean, we're talking about prophecy that is so accurate, so specific. If I say 416, that's an easy guess, right? Everyone here, I believe, has 416 in their phone number. Or some people here, you're going to be like, that's so easy. Some are going to have 416 time. But if I say 416-892, you're like, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But then if I say 416-892-7377, that can only belong to me. If you didn't know my number, but you said someone in here is 416-892-7377, I'd be like, whoa. That's how exact Daniel's prophecy is. Very specific. It is so precise that there are critics out there that say, no. And these are even those that label themselves as Christians, that don't believe in the prophetic word of God. It was so precise that they cannot believe, they cannot comprehend that anything can be that precise in writing of events that will take place in the future, that they use a late date theory. So their theory is, they call it the late date theory, is that, oh, this was written after some of these events happened. And then somebody labeled it Daniel. No. There's so many holes in that theory, it's unbelievable. I don't even have time to go through it. You know, for believers, the Holy Spirit confirms in our hearts that Daniel was the author when we read God's words in Matthew 24:15 and Mark 13:14. Matthew 24:15, Mark 13:14. Jesus himself said this, and I believe Jesus is the best authority on who wrote what. And Jesus said this in Matthew 24:15, Mark 13:14. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's Jesus' words. So we know who wrote the book of Daniel. It was Daniel. The book of Daniel was written sometime between 540 and 530 BC. So let's dive in. Are you ready? Seatbelts on? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. So Jehoiakim, king of Judah, his name means Yahweh raises up. Now, back in the ancient times, a name had so much weight behind it. You could know their character, their personality, who their allegiance is to by their name. So you'd think, oh, wow, Yahweh raises up. Jehoiakim, what a beautiful, strong name that is. Well, sadly, that sounds all good and godly, but he was just a puppet for Egypt. He was placed into power by Egypt because their loyalty, Judah's loyalty, you'd think should be to God, but their loyalty was to Egypt. He was a puppet king. It was the Pharaoh of Egypt who put him on the throne. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Okay, historically, this is what happened. Egypt went there and invaded Babylon. Not a good idea. Nebuchadnezzar says, oh, you're going to invade me? So he decides to invade Egypt. Along the way, guess who got into the mess? Well, Judah, Israel. Israel was besieged because it was loyal to Egypt. But we really know who allowed this. Look at verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. See, folks, you don't need to panic when it comes to world events. We don't need to panic. We know who is in control and sovereign. God used Nebuchadnezzar as an instrument of judgment. Why was Nebuchadnezzar allowed to besiege Jerusalem? For those of you who have studied Jeremiah, all you got to do is turn to Jeremiah 25:8-11. Jeremiah 25:8-11. Everything interconnects in the Bible, and the best commentaries on the Bible is the Bible itself. Jeremiah 25:8-11 says this, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts. It's pretty important when God himself says, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts. And host means like he's the general, the commander-in-chief of the angel, heavenly angels. Because, listen to this, because you have not heard my words. He's talking to Israel. Because you have not heard my words. In other words, they were unrepentant of their sins. Judah was unrepentant of their sins that brought this about. Verse 9 of Jeremiah 25, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitant, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness. Think about all the celebrating that was going on. You know, they were unrepentant in their sins, and they were just partying it up, living. Remember, think of what God, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. Think of this society today, whooping it up, partying, marrying, eating, drinking, but having no regard for the Lord. This is what was happening there in Judah, unrepentant of their sins. So he's saying, voice of mirth, a voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp, just things going on as usual without a regard for the Lord, unrepentant of their sins, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. I guess I can say this as a positive statement because it is a positive statement from the Lord. God will chastise those who he loves. It doesn't sound so positive. Oh, yes, it is. Because if he didn't love you, he just lets you go on in your ways and destroy yourself. But he loves you too much that God will chastise those whom he loves. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Can I give a word of advice? It's better to learn the lesson the easy way than the hard way. Learn it the easy way, not the hard way. I've been there. We've all done that, right? We learned the lesson the hard way, and the Lord chastened us. It's better to learn it the easy way. Just totally give yourself to the Lord every day. Say, Lord, help me that I don't sin against you. Listen, when I sin against someone, I'm not just sinning against that person. I am sinning against the Lord. And so I'm saying, Lord, help me. Get your words into me, Lord, that I might not sin against you. It's so important. Continue in verse 2. With some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. You see the little g there? And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. You know what Nebuchadnezzar was doing by confiscating some of the items? We do this as little kids. My dad's bigger than your dad. I don't know if you've done that. Yeah, you wait till my dad gets you. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was saying this. Our gods and goddesses is bigger than your God. Our gods and goddesses are mightier than the God of Israel. All I thought, and I wrote this in big letters, big mistake. Big, big mistake. Big mistake. Our gracious God, though, gives such ample time for people to repent. Even Babylon, he gave them time to repent and turn to the one true God. Nations to repent, individuals to repent. He's so gracious. But there comes a time when time's up. Only God knows when that time is up. So don't mess. Don't mess around with God's time. Repent now while there's still time. Turn to Jesus now while there's still time. Don't say, well, I need to get my life in order first and then I'll turn. No, you come as you are. Don't wait to clean yourself up. He's going to clean you up. You don't clean yourself up and then come to God. Go as you are. Come now. Dirty, warts and all. Come to him now and he'll clean you up. Make you whiter than snow. That's who we have as God. That's how loving he is. Don't wait. Come now. That should be the sign. Don't wait. Come now. When God's time is up, it's up. If you're back in Jeremiah 25, read with me in the continuation of Jeremiah 25, 12 to 14. Because it says this about Babylon. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed, then I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans. You see what happens? 70 years, time is up. Imagine you knew, let's say you did not live a godly life, and God says, you've got 70 years, 70 years. See what happens when you have all that time? You start thinking, well, I'm going to wait till the 69th year, 11th month, 29 days. You see that, right? Had you known, if he knows right now, I'm going to rapture you in 10 days. Some people say, I'm going to party it up for 9 days, man. And then the 10th day, oh, Lord, forgive me for my sins. That's why God doesn't tell us about the rapture, when he's coming back, when he's reappearing for us, taking us home. That's why I think one of the major reasons. That's how the heart is. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Only God can. So he says there, I will punish the Chaldeans for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. So I'll bring on that land all my words which I have pronounced against it. You see, he says, my words. All that is written in this book that Jeremiah has prophesied concerning all the nations, for many nations and great kings shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their hands. So Nebuchadnezzar is not out of the woods. He will get his time, sadly. Going back to verse 3, though, of Daniel, it wasn't just the articles of the house of God that Nebuchadnezzar confiscated. Then the king, look at verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand. You got that? So what can we learn from these verses about Daniel and his friends? Tell me, what can you learn? The first thing a female says, he's good looking. I know, I'm not, you're right though. It's right? He's good looking. A lot of you men here would be captured. No, okay, right. Good looking. What else? They're young, good looking, smart. Yeah. Do you notice it says king's descendants and some of the nobles? So what does that tell us about Daniel? Royalty. Nobility. Daniel. Noble. Royal. And they're young. Folks, at this stage of the game, Daniel and his friends were probably between 13 to 17 years old. When you think Daniel, you think, oh, he's this wise man. At this stage of the game, 13 to 17 years old. And wait till you see how Daniel reacts at 13 to 17 years old. Ought to be a lesson for us adults. Great lesson for the youth. Great lesson to graduates. Great lesson for all of us. Isn't it perfect timing? Graduation just happened for most schools, and here we are in Daniel learning about these 13 to 17-year-olds. Check this out. Why did Nebuchadnezzar take the future of Judah? Continue on in verse 3. Who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to indoctrinate them. Plain and simple. Immerse them and assimilate them into Babylonian culture. And that's what happens in this world day in, day out. Be careful lest you be indoctrinated. We all know what's going on in the war in Gaza. Do you know that in the war in Gaza, UNRWA, which is supposed to be a relief agency for the Palestinians, you know what they used everybody's hard-earned money for around the world? To set up these UNRWA schools, and guess what we're taught in these UNRWA schools, which is supposed to be relief, and to teach and educate the Palestinian children about good things. You know what they were teaching them in these schools? This is fact. This is not me making this up. You can look this up anywhere. They were teaching them how to kill Jews. Does that not shock us to this day? The Palestinians are not the problem. Hamas is the problem. They are taking the Palestinians as shields. They are taking the Palestinians and indoctrinating the children so that right now 80% of the Palestinians believe and still want Hamas in power. Why? Because you indoctrinate them at a very young age. You start them at a young age and program them to be anti-Semitic. Oh, that doesn't happen in Toronto, does it? That doesn't happen in Canada. Anti-Semitism? No, that's out there. That's not here in our village. I'm going to play this clip, and I hope I set this up right, but listen to this. This was just, I found, posted yesterday.
In Ontario, Canada. And today, I had to pull her out of school because of anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. The other day, she was told that Jews can't be trusted. And today there was a cultural event at her school, and there was a Palestinian presentation which had a large map of the Middle East, which labeled Israel not Israel, but Palestine, and claimed that Jerusalem was the capital of Palestine. And the school allowed this. And when I asked them why they allowed this and how they could allow this, they claimed that it was perfectly acceptable. and that I was the one in the wrong. I never in my life would have thought that I would have to pull my daughter out of public school because she's no longer welcome and she isn't safe as a Jew in a public school in Ontario, Canada. We're actually a bit broken right now and a bit tired. And we're kind of thinking about what to do next and where to go. But I can tell you right now that the rot in the public schools and the anti-Semitism in the public schools, it's not going anywhere, and it's here to stay.
This is a Jewish mother in Burlington, Ontario, that had to pull her Jewish daughter out of school for just being Jewish. Breaks my heart. How does Satan, how do God haters get their claws into this generation of youth? Simple. They start with your children. Pray for your kids. You talk to them about the Word of God. You teach them the Word of God from start to finish. You never stop teaching your children. Don't back down from the Word of God. You teach them over and over and over again. You let them know. It's the Word of God. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will make them stand. That will stand. There just needs to be a few good people in this world that are sold out for Jesus. And may we be those ones as well with other bodies of Christ. That should not be happening in this world, let alone in our very own backyard. How does Babylon groom the Hebrew youth for palace service? Look at verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank. What's one of the ways to soften up prisoners to do your ways? Yeah, you entice them with food. You appeal to the god of their belly, right? Make them feel honored and special. Why? You notice it was the king's delicacy. You entice them with food, the king's delicacy. They're not receiving commoners' food. They're receiving the king's delicacy. And then 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. Indoctrination. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to forget their Hebrew God, forget about their culture. Now from among them, the sons of Judah were Daniel. Daniel means God is my judge. Remember I was telling you about the importance of names back then? Well, it means God is my judge. Hananiah, beloved by the Lord, that's the meaning. Mishael, who is as God, that's the meaning of that name. Azariah, the Lord is my help. Isn't that beautiful? But guess what they did? They changed the names. Why? Well, listen to this. Then to the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. 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 I remember I was joking around. If you don't know how to pronounce it, just say it really quick. Belteshazzar. You know what that means? Bel's prince. Which is their god, which was the name for one of their many gods, goddesses. Meshach, to Mishael, Meshach, which may mean who is like Shach, which again some believe was a Babylonian goddess corresponding to Ishtar and to Venus. Shadrach, I forgot Hananiah, Shadrach, meaning illuminated by sun god. And to Azariah, Abednego, meaning servant of Nego, which is like one of their gods. So folks, those names there, I only start remembering it from VeggieTales. Remember that movie? Rack, Shack, and Abednego. But so these were Babylonian names. They switched it over. They wanted them to forget their Hebrew culture, forget about the Hebrew God, because names for them had a lot of weight behind it. We're going to change your name. Isn't that important to think about? What does my name represent? Names for them. It lets you know of their personality, who they were loyal to, what their character was like, and they changed it. You know who uses that tactic today? Amen. Well, not amen. Well, yes, amen, because that's correct. I agree with you. Satan. Satan uses these tactics today. He wants to indoctrinate us into the world system. Satan wants us to get all prideful about the title we get beside our name. He wants us to identify with the world. He wants to educate us in the ways of the world and feed us with what the world offers. Get us to forget or get lukewarm towards the things of God. Satan does not want us to see the world through a biblical worldview. Do you want to see the world through the proper eyes of the Lord? See it through the Bible. If you are not seeing the world through this, then what are you seeing the world through? Me, myself, and I? That's dangerous. Through the social media? That's dangerous. Through the news? That's really dangerous. Through CNN? Through CBC News? Oh, that's a good one. No, you can't see the world through that. Even your own eyes. You need to see yourself and the world and the people through the Bible. How serious are you through the Bible? How serious are you about the Bible? You should see the world through these eyes, and it shall give you peace that surpasses all understanding. But what does God say in this book? He says, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. John 17:14-15, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Now, Daniel was taken from royalty. Anybody relate to this? I'm not saying maybe you were royal, but I'm saying, think about it. Anybody relate to you were in your comfort zone? He was in his comfort zone. A palace, royalty, nobility, freedom to walk wherever you want, freedom to say your head's cut off or not cut off. Not that he would do that. But, you know, he could say, I'm going to punish you. He had freedom everywhere. And then his freedom was taken away, captive, for 70 years. How did Daniel, 13 to 17 years old at this time, how did he handle this? I want you to think about this. Because a lot of times we think, oh, you need to be 25 and above to receive the Holy Spirit. How can these young folks, no, they can't be that young to receive the Holy Spirit. Listen, 13 to 17 years old, the Spirit of God works in any age. Any age. How did Daniel handle being out of his comfort zone? Well, look at verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, today, for New Testament believers, all of the food that was offered to them is okay for us. But I want you to think back then. Old Testament Israel. What did God command them? He gave them a command to eat certain foods and to stay away from certain foods. It was just part of who they are to be in God. So for Daniel in the Old Testament, Israelites, honoring and obeying God also meant obeying him in the foods he was allowed or not allowed to eat. So Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. The food wasn't kosher, and it was probably sacrificed to idols. That's why he says, I don't want part of that. And also remember, in ancient times, not really like today, but in ancient times, when I partake in the food that you give me, it's like I'm saying I accept your fellowship. I accept you. And he was saying, no, I do not accept Nebuchadnezzar. I do not accept the Babylonian culture. 13 to 17 years old. Praise God. Praise God that we have youth today. We have young folks that are on fire for the Lord. And there was a definite element of courage, don't you think, from Daniel's end? I don't think I would be that courageous 13 to 17. I was like, you know, I just want to play basketball. You take my basketball away, boo! But that was me, immature. But he was sold out for God. There was an element of courage there in Daniel's request. Because he's not just rejecting the menu. Whose menu is he rejecting? The king's. And this wasn't some cartoonish, you know the cartoons where the enemy kingdom takes over the other kingdom and then they all become friends and they're, oh yeah, we're all good, we're just going to be friends. Now this is Nebuchadnezzar. He was one bad dude. You look in the book of Jeremiah, he burned his captives alive. Or how about this? He took the king's sons, and the king was standing here, and his sons were there, and he killed the princes right in front of his eyes, and then he gouged the king's eyes out. Why? That was the last thing that king could see. So let's remember what culture we are dealing with. Okay? Now, on the lighter side, rejecting Nebuchadnezzar's menu probably meant that you wouldn't get promoted. So, I don't know what your trial is. I don't know what your situation is, but you might be in a home where family members are not fully surrendered to God. What about where you go to work or where you go to school? The people you associate with. Think about our society today. If you think about our society today, a lot of people like to think, oh, we're a God-fearing society. Is that true? Are we really a God-fearing society? Sold out for God, sold out for Jesus Christ? I would say, sad to say, that this Canada is more of a pagan society. So isn't it interesting that God says, I want you to learn about Daniel. I want to bring you back to Daniel. We are in a pagan society, folks, but yet you have the light, not darkness. Here it is. I'm looking at a bunch of people with the light of God in their lives amongst the dark world. You don't drive the light out by just, you know what you do? Just turn the light on. You don't have to drive it out. Just turn the light on. Daniel was in the world, but was not of the world. Daniel and his friends will be a great lesson for us. He was in Babylon, but was not of Babylon. Can you say that about your community? I'm of Oakville, but I'm in Oakville, but I'm not of Oakville. I'm in Mississauga, but I'm not of Mississauga. Your permanent residence is in heaven. We see that Daniel stayed faithful to God in a pagan society. He didn't compromise. He didn't compromise. 13 to 17 years old, he didn't compromise. He could have thought, well, I'm 1,000 kilometers from home. Who's going to see? Who's going to care? Think about, you know the sad thing? There may be Christians out there that they're one way at church, and then they go travel on a vacation 1,000 miles away. My congregation's not here. Who's going to see? He could have thought that. Exactly. Who's going to care? Or Daniel could have been selfish and angrily blame God. Look, why, God? Why am I in this situation? It was a horrible situation. God, oh! I'm thinking of Job's wife. Curse God and die. What did Job say? No. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, but instead, in the midst of trial and testing, Daniel submitted himself to God's care and glorified God, not only in word, but also in action. James 2:17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Oh, you can tell me how Christian you are, but I also watch action. Now God, in verse 9, had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. What does God say? I will neither leave you nor forsake you. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Whew. You might be thinking, oh, I need to hear that for my boss at work, for my coworkers. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. If someone... You know, it's interesting when someone says, oh, what can I be thankful to God for today? I don't know how, what should I, are you kidding me? Listen to this. Here's one. Thank God that the authority figures in your life find favor in you. It's not because of me. It's because God did this. It's all God's doing. Don't ever take credit for it. Daily, daily thank God, thank the Lord and praise him. Verse 10, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So he's saying, look, if I put you on this diet and it doesn't work and you look ugly and disheveled, I'm dead. But look at Daniel's reaction. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, listen to what he said. Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. Daniel didn't get into a protest. He didn't sit there and say, we're going to, well, that's fine. You want me to eat the delicacies? I don't want to eat it. Well, I'm going to get these gang together. We're going to protest. March. Protest. Protest. That's the thing today, right? Cancel culture. Protest. No, he didn't do that. He didn't use foul language. He didn't get into a heated argument with him. He could have. If you think about it, he was actually kind and courteous. When difficulties, when conflict comes, how do I respond? That's a test to how Christ-like I am and in areas that I probably need to grow in if I respond in an unchrist-like manner. But look at Daniel. I have a response, courteous and kind. Daniel was a man of integrity because of who he ultimately loved more than anything. He put himself in the chief of the eunuch's shoes or sandals. He saw the situation through the steward's eyes, or should I say more appropriately, through God's heart and eyes. How did Daniel handle this circumstance? Daniel leaned on God's wisdom. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. In verse 14 now of Daniel 1, so he consented with them in this manner and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacy. Thus, the steward took away the portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them over to the keto diet. There you go. He gave them vegetables. Now, here's the problem, folks, and this is a good lesson for us. If we don't read the whole counsel of God, if we don't go from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation, we can pull anything out and make it fit our agenda. Case in point, I look at this, you just read this and say, aha, aha, you see, God wants us to be vegetarians. He doesn't want us to eat meat. You look at that, right? You say, oh, there it is. No, but you got to read cover to cover, man. 1 Timothy 4:3-5. 1 Timothy 4:3-5. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So those who love their barbecues are thinking, whew, okay, thank God. So verse 14 to 16 is not a promotion of going vegan. Nothing against vegetarians. If you feel led to be a vegetarian, go at it. Go at it. Rather, this is a teaching. This teaching from 14 to 16 is showing us the hand of God at work. That's all it is. No need to look any further. Don't go beyond scripture. Just know that this God did this. It was God that made them appear better and fatter. Now, better and fatter is, in a sense, just saying they're healthier. It was God who made them healthy. Think of the spiritual application for New Testament believers. We need God's spiritual food. We need the Word of God. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit every moment of our lives. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, and as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. God gives wisdom. But do you know that we can ask for wisdom as well? James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, I lack wisdom, Lord, let him ask of God. You hear that? Let him ask of God. What's wisdom? Taking knowledge and applying it. You can have knowledge, but no wisdom. There's a lot of those people around university. No, sorry. Okay, sorry. I can get on that trail. Don't help me not get down that rabbit hole. But there's a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge, but not wisdom. I think we ought to pray more for wisdom, folks, as believers. We have a lot of knowledge, but God, show us how to use it. That's wisdom. And so it says here, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Be careful, though, when you're asking, what's your motive behind the asking? I just want to look wise in front of everybody, right? And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Daniel, God gave him that gift to be used for what? His purposes. It wasn't the diet that gave them these supernatural abilities. It was God. All of this came from God. The supernatural working in the natural. Like all of us. The supernatural working in your life in the natural. Only God can truly know the meaning of dreams. God doesn't give gifts so that we can stay buried. He doesn't give you a gift to just don't use it. Use it. We are to use our God-given gifts. It's the worst thing in the world, folks. You know this from hearing of others. Or maybe you've seen it on television, like, oh, what a God-given gift. And they're using it for that? On those music videos? They're great singers, and that's what they're using it for? It's the worst thing in the world when someone uses the gifts that they've been given by God for selfish purposes. Gifts are given to bless others, to build up the body of Christ, and glorify God. Period. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Let your light that God gave you, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. In verse 18, now at the end of the days. So when he's saying that in verse 18, now at the end of the days, that meant the 3 years of training's up. When the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Here you are, Nebuchadnezzar, the men that I have trained. Here you go. Then the king interviewed them. This was a verbal interview now. Remember your verbal interviews, folks, at your job? So imagine the king, Nebuchadnezzar, has got these three guys, and he's like, four guys, and he's, okay. Imagine what the eunuch's thinking. Oh, man, they better pass, or... That's what would happen to the eunuch, the master of the eunuch. If their students, pupils, failed, it's possible that they could be executed. So he's probably sitting there going, oh, man, they need to pass. God, if you're real, goddesses, no. But look what it says there. And among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. By God's grace, they were the top of the class. They probably were about 20 years old by this time. Graduation age, 20 years old. They graduated. They were the top of the class. And think about this. They were probably, yes, 20 years old. Therefore, they served before the king. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Proverbs 22:29. Verse 20, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king had examined them. So what did the king do? He put them through a thorough test. All, he says, all matters. Woo, talk about the eunuch sweating. All matters of wisdom. And look at this. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all of his realm. 10 times better. Was that because of their diet? No. This is because of God Almighty, who gives you wisdom liberally if you ask him. Sometimes I say this in love. I can even get like this. Sometimes it's like, oh, God, I'm nasty, I can't do it. It's like God's saying, stop it. Stop condemning yourself. Just ask for my help, and I'm going to help you. Stand upright. Be bold in Christ. I'm giving you that power. Stop condemning. Stop walking around with droopy shoulders and a droopy... I'm not agreeing. God is like, do you know who
who has you? The Almighty King. I spoke the world into existence. Stop moping. Call upon me, and I will give you wisdom. Stop condemning yourself. Stop beating yourself up. God of the universe loves you and knows you, and not only that, knows every hair on your head for some of us that have hair. Come on. Come on. I need this to hear this as well. Pastor Paul, stop moping around. Would you stop it, Paul? God, I love you. I gave you the Holy Spirit. You know what the Holy Spirit did, Paul? What? He raised Jesus from the dead. That same power resides in you, so stop it. Stop it. I love you. That's why I'm telling you to stop it. Come on. Oh, he found them 10 times better. Of course, because the magicians and astrologers and false gods are no match, not even close to the one true God of Israel. The one true God of Israel. Ah, I feel sorry for those who are trying to go against Israel. Don't mess with the apple of his eye. Huh. Whew. Because this is what happens. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. In other words, the king of Persia said, go away, Babylon. You have not treated my children rightfully, so... and I'm going to deal with you. Genesis says simply this, those who bless Israel, I will bless. And whom who curses Israel, I will curse. Those are very serious statements. And I pray for the nation of Canada. I will clap. You see me right now. I will clap for Trudeau for this one moment because he has stood for Israel at times. Although at other times he kind of goes between the both to please everyone. But I have seen him say that he stands for Israel. So I will give that little clap, and that's all. Okay, done with that clap. You know how when it says there, thus Daniel continued until the first king of first year of King Cyrus, you know how old Daniel would have been by that point? Now he would have been 90. Yeah, but I don't think 90 back then, it was not the same as 90 today. It might be close, but. A Bible teacher said this in closing. The work of the prophets like Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk was not in vain. Daniel had a long, successful career in the worst of circumstances. He worked for tyrants who thought nothing of killing their staff and advisors, much less of firing them. His employer suffered the worst kind of hostile takeover when the Medo-Persian Empire conquered the Babylonian Empire. The seeds of his great success are evident in the very first chapter of the book of Daniel. He and his friends show us that inner conviction can overcome any outer appearance, outer pressure. Again, let me repeat that. He and his friends show us that inner conviction can overcome any outer pressure, and that God-honoring convictions yield God-given rewards. In every situation, be willing and be ready to serve God. Amen. Let's pray.